Yeah, that's the sound of the Philadelphia Union choking their way through the rest of the season. Oh. Here. They're gonna stumble. Is that too harsh?
Too harsh.
Just throwing that. Black Sabbath, one of my all-time favorites.
Love Black Sabbath. I'm a huge fan.
Kevin Kincaid and Dave Zeitlin. It's always soccer in Philadelphia. Welcome in, everybody. We're going to share our thoughts on the 2-0 home loss, Philadelphia Union and Orlando City from this past Sunday. But first, before we do that, let's turn to former Indianapolis Colts head coach Jim Mora to get his take on the game.
That was a disgraceful performance, in my opinion. We threw that game. We gave it away by doing that. We gave them the friggin' game. In my opinion, that sucked.
All right, so yeah, so you heard Jim Mora and his take on the Orlando.
Is this like our thing now? Just quoting NFL coaches? Is this what the podcast is going to be?
I can't do I want to do these drops, you know, like these radio drops. So it's not like I have sitting in front of me like a WIP or like 97.5 The Fanatic where I can just like press a button and have it go, you know. But I wanted to. It's like my favorite press conference of all time. I think it's the fourth time in 5 podcasts that I've referenced. Yeah. Playoff.
It's gonna be a highlight of Jim Moore's career when he finds out he was on the "It's Always Soccer in Philadelphia" podcast.
That's right. That's like I feel
either that or he sues us. One of the two.
Right. I feel for Herman Edwards because like now he's a regular on ESPN and almost every day they play the "You play to win the game" clip. And I think that he plays along with it, but I think at this point he's kind of getting sick of it, you know. But to me, Jim Mora. You know, we'll never get old. And how applicable to this Philadelphia Union team who they have a 99.9% chance of getting into the playoffs. They're in whatever. But there's no buzz about it at all because of the way that they finish. So, Dave Zeitlin, your thoughts on that?
I wrote a column about it after the game. It's like the most Union way to get into the playoffs, right?
The most union-y way.
This team hasn't made the playoffs in 5 years. They've gone through so much since their last playoff game. They fired 2 coaches. How many different players? How many different writers? but I mean,
yes. How many writers have been so worn out?
And then to get into the playoffs, I mean, I still think it's an accomplishment. It's not like a huge accomplishment considering 6 out of 10 teams get in, but it's not nothing. And for it to happen at home while fans are booing and for fans to be leaving, which they should have been doing, like as Jim said, like it was a bad game, fans had every right to, but for them to basically guarantee their playoff berth in that kind of game is just very typical Union, I guess, just not a great thing.
I mean there's just no other way to look at it. I mean, this team's gonna break the longest playoff drought in Major League Soccer. They're gonna get into the playoffs for the first time in 5 years.
Wait, it's not official. They could lose 6-0, and New England could win 6-0.
New England could win. It's still, well, I wouldn't put anything past anybody at this point. But it's crazy to me when you go back to the beginning of the season, and if you know, lay out the scenario now, if we're going back to January, this team's going to go to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, Chris Pontius is going to be the team's leading goal scorer. The rookies are going to pan out and play pretty well. And they've done that on top of Maurice Adu not playing a single game and Vince Noguera leaving at the middle of the season. I mean, if I had told you all of that going back to January, your response would be?
I'd take it. We actually asked Jim this after the press conference. Jim Curtin said he'd take it. Most of the players would take it. You know, that 5 or 6 seed getting into the playoffs, it's, when you think about it, it's almost the same as the 3 or the 4. Like, you're in the same spot. You just have to win a road game. So, I mean, anywhere between that 3 and the 6, it's kind of like a pretty good to average season. And where the Union were coming in, like you said, the fact that they lost their top midfielder in the middle of the season, the fact that their captain hasn't played all year. I mean, just looking at it from that sense, it's a decent season, but considering they were in first place through, I guess, April, May, some of June, right?
Yeah, up until the end of June.
If you look at it that
June,
way, then it's not great.
Then it's hard to. Well, it's so strange because, you know, I think that we sat here and identified fourth place would be a perfect, a great season for them, a big step forward. You'd host a home playoff game, and that would go along with the expectations that you created for yourself. Midway through the season, I don't necessarily believe in changing that line. You know, we talked about it on last podcast where if Carson Wentz comes out, wins three games in a row. Now you think he's going to the Super Bowl, and now they lose two in a row. Now everybody's sort of saying, oh, it's this season, blah, 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 whatever. But, you know, it was just 5 weeks ago that people had expectations of them being 8-8 team. So can you keep sliding those expectations? Yes. Or can you, or do you not do it? Is that logical or illogical? You know, I think that, you know, again, the reality of it is that this team, and Matt DeGeorge pointed out, this team's going to finish with a worse record than the 2014 team.
Yeah.
And they're going to finish sub .500. They're 11-13 and something right now.
Although Jim said afterwards, it's not entirely fair to look at it in that metric, because ties, you know, are not losses. Like, they have more games where they didn't lose than they did lose.
Yeah,
so.
I see. Well, I see it as a draw being 500. Draw, yeah, right. You know. So I don't know. I've always kind of looked at it that way. But again, it goes back to me. I think you can say it was a success based on a lot of the steps that they took, bringing Ernie Stewart in, you know, playing well for a large portion of the time, the rookies doing well, I think overachieving with the roster that they had in year number one of being a legit franchise and having the infrastructure that everybody else has. But you can also be disappointed that, again, they finished in the bottom half of the league. They're going to probably finish with a negative goal differential. And yet, to me, I think the fact that the MLS playoff system is a joke, you know, fluff some of these teams to make it seem like it's better than it is. Nobody, you go to other sports, you go to the NBA, I think, is a good example. You know, every year you get like an 8 seed in the East that's going to get throttled by the Cleveland Cavaliers in the first round. If I'm a Washington Wizards fan or an Orlando Magic fan, whoever the hell finished 8th last year or the year before, am I sitting there saying, hey, we got into the playoffs, we had a good year? No, and then there's been cases.
So the Sixers were trying to avoid, like, being that team who always got the 8 seed, right? They're like, let's just rebuild for 4 years and be terrible. And
well,
maybe,
credit to them, though. That's what the Hinkie guy. That's what the Hinkie people, you know, use to their credit. Yeah. So, you know, in the NFL, every so often you get that 7-9 team in the playoffs, and maybe they win a game. But still, I mean, if you finish 8-9 with a playoff win, is that a successful season?
The funny thing is, now it comes down to that first playoff game. If they win that game on the road, people are going to be like, wow, that's great. They beat Toronto. They beat New York City, maybe. And people are going to go into next season feeling happy. But if they lose that game and they lose to the Red Bulls, all of a sudden they end the season with 8 straight losses. So there's so much that comes down to
eight winless. Yeah.
Right. And so there's so much that comes down to that one playoff game. And is that fair to, like, define a season based on one game on the road? Probably not, but that's just the way it's going to be.
It's crazy, man. I mean, I can't, you know, remember any other time in, I'm sure there's examples in other sports or whatever, but how big of a swing towards positive or negative, how one result for the Union or how these next 2 weeks could take you to one side of the spectrum or the far opposite side of the spectrum. You know, it could be if they go beat New York on Sunday and then, like you said, beat Toronto out there, the season's a raging success. And if they lose two in a row, then it's a lot of people are calling for, you know, Jim Curtin to be fired. I've never seen such a,
it's a little fickle. You
know,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy to think, but you know, the thing that I keep thinking of is that there's no buzz now, you know.
Right.
And I'm sitting here. I was kind of bored. Today's Wednesday. I was kind of bored at the press conference. I mean, what was there really to talk about? You got Red Bull. They're already in. They've clinched first place, but they can't win the Shield. So Jim Curtin said he didn't think that.
The only drama of the game versus the Red Bulls is if Bradley Wright Phillips wins the
The Golden Boot.
The Golden Boot, because the Red Bulls are basically locked into that top seed, and Philly's basically locked into
the. They're locked into the top seed. They can't win the Shield. The Union can get up to fifth place, but that doesn't really change anything because you're going on the road for.
Right.
I mean, the optics of it look better. You can say, yeah, they finished in fifth place instead of.
And 45 points is better than 42. I mean, one game under 500 is better than three. So I mean, yeah, they still want to win, but yeah, like you talk about the press conference. I think one of the big things that came out of it was Jim was talking about a team meeting. Ali Bedoya told us to after practice, he kind of raised his hand and was like, I didn't play that well. The whole team didn't play that well, but you know, it's the playoffs now. We have this opportunity. And Jim was saying, you know, that's a little bit rare. I mean, players don't always kind of raise their hand to a talk during meetings. So I think that says something about Ali Bedoya. I mean, what do you think about him right now? He admitted he had a bad game. I guess most people would agree he had a bad game, but just what do you think about his game and I guess his leadership now.
Well, that's, I mean, it's really good to hear that. It was, yeah, it was good to see him take responsibility for it on Twitter because he was horrendous in that game. Two terrible turnovers and then a third that he got away with in the second half. I think he was, the injury was more than was made of it because he just didn't seem like himself out there. He did have some nice defensive you know, wins here and there. A couple of them came off his own turnovers, but it's good, and they need that kind of person because, you know, who else on the roster really is that guy right now? Is it Brian Carroll?
Yeah, Brian Carroll's not too vocal. Barnett has worn the armband, but yeah. he's not from this country.
Chris Pontius, he's only been here for 1 year.
And Moadu is a leader, but he hasn't played yet. And,
right.
And we could talk about him again if you want. But,
so where's the rah-rah? Yeah, well, where's that message coming from? It's a fair question, you know? And it's
good
for,
if it's Ollie.
For Bedoya,
I mean,
for, yeah, for
he's
Bedoya
gonna,
to
he's
not
be here
be
three
here.
More years. He's going to be in the playoffs for the first time. I mean, he's excited about that. I think fans should be... I know fans were down on him after that game. I understand why, but I think fans should be happy he's here, and I think he's going to play well in the playoffs. That's just my personal.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, what did Tranquillo Barnetta do in 2015?
Right. It's hard to come over, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of guys struggle with that adjustment. A lot of guys who come in during the summer, you know, like Robbie Keane is an exception. Even Tim Cahill was terrible when he came over here in that first half season that he played. And so, Bedoya, there's going to be a learning curve for sure. And again, I think he's playing in not his best position. So he looks like he'll play as a 10 next year if they can get him up there. But it's good to see that he's stepping into a leadership role now because, like you said, he's going to be here for 3.5 years. You might as well do it now because it's the game itself. Do we want to even talk about that?
Bad,
well, I just think
awful, lifeless.
It wasn't even that they lost. It was that I watched it unfold almost exactly like it was some Eagles NFC. Title game where
Eagles references.
No. Listen, man, it was like I had visions of Joe Juravicius running down the field when Carlos Rivas was on that breakaway and that comedic goal that they gave up, and it just like it was so appropriately Philadelphia the way that they lost the game. You know, getting shut out at home, giving up two terrible goals. Yeah. The second one, whatever. I mean, the game's pretty much over anyway. But Richie Marquez just kind of putting a header on the ball, and it goes. You know, over the entire back line. But that first goal was just a complete comedy of errors, and there's no way for that team that anything like that should ever have. It wasn't that they lost. It was the way that they lost to me that was more.
Well, it's funny because you brought up on October 2014, kind of before the game, you asked Jim about it, and Jim was like, "No, this is a different team. That's in the past." Yeah. And then it looked like that 2014 team when Rice made the big error.
The Chicago
against Chicago, and in that Columbus game the week later, where they were up 2-0 and they gave up
three goals in 6 minutes.
Three goals. So Jim was talking about it being a different team, but then that goal they gave up kind of looked and felt familiar, which is
very
a hard thing for Union fans to deal with.
And it was strange too because they had 2 weeks off, and they kept repeating in the locker room and in the press conference that they had a really, really good week of training, and that they felt loose, and that they didn't think that they came out flat or came out nervous or anything like that. I think they're running out of ideas in the attack. CJ Sapong is I don't know where he is right now. He suffered another concussion.
Yeah,
in
we
that
should
game.
Talk about that. I mean, with him having a concussion now. I mean, I think it's a perfect time to do something else, maybe start Charlie Davies. I mean, Jim's probably like a month too late. Like we said in like two or three podcasts ago, that just give CJ just one game off, just let him kind of rethink some things, give Charlie Davies, put out Fabian Herbers up there.
And it's too, I mean, yeah, it's too
Which
late
Jim didn't
now
want to
because
do.
What, so, okay, so the playoff games are on the 20th, oh, I'm sorry, they're on the 26th and the 27th. Right. So if you play Sunday, then you have...
Two or three days.
One, two.
It could be only
three.
2 days off.
Yeah, you could have two or 3 days. So yeah. 48 or 72 hours. So okay. So say you. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, who you know? Let's go over the starting 11 for Sunday. I mean, considering the injuries that Jim talked about in the press conference. CJ's going through concussion protocol. Josh Yarrow's still doing that too. Chris Pontius has a little bit of hamstring tightness, and Tranquillo, they've kind of been giving him days off throughout the year. I didn't, you know, Ken Tribbett also wasn't out there on Wednesday either. Mm-hmm. I don't think we even asked about that, did we? So, I mean, all that considered, Sunday, I mean, who are you putting out there?
I'd do some tinkering. I mean, I'd play Moadu. I asked Jim about this. I mean, you have him. He's been healthy. This game, when you think about it, doesn't mean that much. So why not just put out Mo out there? And if he plays well, he gives you a few minutes. All of a sudden, you're looking at the playoff game like he's an option. But if he doesn't play Sunday, he's not going to play in the playoffs. Why not give him a shot?
I know. I mean, if not now, then when? Well, okay, well, let's go back to front here. I mean, goalkeeper, Andre Blake. Is there a reason to sit him?
I'd go Matt Jones.
Matt Jones. Give Matt Jones a game. No. What the hell not? Yeah, well, I don't. Yeah, I don't think goalkeepers need rest. But even then, I mean, it's just Blake.
I think Blake's four saves away from setting the team record for
okay,
saves.
Okay, so we think Andre. Okay, so we think Blake's gonna play out there. Who are you playing as your center backs?
I'd stick. I mean, if Yarrow's healthy, I'd go with him and Marquez. I wouldn't change the back line. I don't think I'd go with Rosenberry, Fabinho. I don't think there's a reason to play Gattis unless you do.
I'd switch up everything, to be honest. I would play Marquez with Edu at center back.
Don't you think it's dangerous to do like that much tinkering? Like, I think maybe two or three spots, but I'm not playing Taylor Washington.
Yeah, but let me get through the thing here. Come on. let's put Ray. Let's give Keegan Rosen. I mean, the kid's played every single frigging game this year. I mean, can you give him? Can you play Ray Gattis for one game?
But if Keegan plays, he becomes the. It's like a record, I think.
Oh well, I mean, do they care about that, or are we the only rookie to play? Okay, all right. So you're thinking in those terms. I get it. Okay. We'll go through every position. And that's the kind. Those are the kinds of questions. Left back, you want to play Fabinho again? No issues really there.
Yeah, I mean, if they want to play Gattis over Fabinho, that's one move where I'd be okay with. Yeah.
This is what I'm doing in the mid. I think I'm changing up the midfield. I'm playing Warren Craval at the six, and I'm giving BC. I'd play BC in the playoff game. Mm-hmm. So I'll play. I'm also going to rest Bedoya because he still talked about having a little bit of pain with the rib.
Did.
So I'm going to play Kevin Kratz as the number eight. And I'm going to play at the number 10. I'm going to play Roland Alberg, and I'm going to give Tranquillo a rest too. So my midfield's going to be Craval, Kratz, and Alberg.
So you're playing Mo at center back.
I'm playing Mo at center back, yeah.
I mean, I like that move.
Would you sit Craval and Carroll?
I just don't think it's
going to
happen.
Okay.
I think if they do play Mo, it's going to be in the midfield. That's where he's been practicing. I think it's kind of too late at this point to put him at center back.
So how about this? How about you play like Marquez?
How about
and
Craval,
like
Mo,
Trusty, or something?
Or how about Mo at the eight? Or do you think Mo would have to be at the six?
Yeah, I mean, you could play Mo at the six. You could play Kratz or even Derek Jones if you wanted to give him a run. And then say who on the left and the right? I would play. I'd see how much you can get out of Elsinho.
Elsinho, yeah.
And then on the left, I wouldn't play Chris Pontius. I would play.
You could do Leo or like Restrepo or something.
Yeah, Walter Restrepo, why not? And then I'd play Charlie.
I'd start
Davies
Charlie Davies
yeah.
for sure. I mean, that's the one move I've been touting for a while. I think Charlie kind of needs a game to start just to kind of get more integrated. But he's been coming into games late, and he hasn't been doing much
of
anything.
He hadn't. I shared a visual of his chart after that game, and it had not. It was completely blank because he didn't have a single touch. Now, New York's interesting on the other hand because they. So this game's on the 23rd. They would not play their playoff game until when's the first round game? They're not on the weekend, are they?
Yeah, it's on
the
weekend.
It's on
the
29th.
It's Saturday or Sunday, I think. Yeah.
So New York played last. Okay, so what Jim was saying was that, okay. So a Red Bull fan was asking me something. I was kind of confused on Twitter because Red Bull last played on the 16th, right? So if they sat all their starters on the 23rd, they would have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, like 14 or 15 days off in between. So Jim didn't seem to – he seemed to think that they're going to play most of their starters on Sunday because they wouldn't want to sit there for 2 weeks straight, right? It's not like it's
plus they have guys going for records too. BWP got Golden Boot. I think Sasha Kleston has a chance for like the assist record or something.
Okay, so you think they're gonna play? It's not much of a travel for them anyway. They're just
Play most of the guys. I think the Union will probably end up playing most of their guys too. I think maybe two or three spots.
Yeah, I think you might see like one or two changes for them. I think you might see like Gonzalo Verón come in or something like that. But yeah, I mean they'll probably play most of their starters. Okay, so that's that. What else do we have on this sheet?
We talk about. I mean, you asked Jim about options for who he'd like to play in the first round of the playoffs.
Right.
I think that's an interesting one. I personally think Toronto is the toughest game. I don't think they're going to Toronto and winning. I think they can win if they make the short trip to New York City or DC. I think it's still tough, but I think they can do it. I think if they go to Toronto, I can't see this Toronto team losing the first round. I think this Toronto team will be in the MLS Cup. That's my prediction right now.
Yeah, so. And Toronto, when they had Giovinco and they were all healthy, they shredded the Union 3-1 at Talon. And the 1-1 draw, Philly played really, really well that first half and then kind of ran out of steam in the second, but Giovinco was injured. So, yeah, if we're ranking them, I'd say that's the least desirable also because I don't want to drive my 2004 Ford Ranger to Ontario again.
We take your car if we go, because that doesn't have air conditioning. So I don't know
I think
about
it's
that.
Fixed. I haven't tried turning it on in like a year, but And okay, so NYC and DC. So okay, this is weird because those are both easy travel distances. It's the same thing, right? NYC has the shitty field. They lost, the Union lost up there earlier this year. They only played them twice this year. DC, they were 1 minute away from sweeping. Yeah. Of course, DC was a completely different team back then. So NYC or DC, who do you rather?
I mean, I'd rather play DC. I mean, I know DC's hot, but if they, I mean, if you're looking at this game like it was in May, like the Union are going to RFK, it would be like a toss-up game. Mm-hmm. I mean, DC, I don't want to, I just think it's a game that the Union play well there sometimes, and it's a kind of a toss-up game. It would still be an upset, but I could see the Union of.
I think the confidence would be higher. Yeah, going down there, knowing what they've done against them earlier this year.
NYC is another team like Toronto. I mean, they have such good players. I can't really see them getting bounced in the first round. If the Union do take out Toronto or New York City, I mean, that's a pretty cool story. I mean,
that would be and then that would set them up nice for. Upset. I mean, I don't have the bracket in my head or whatever, but yeah, I would say in that order, I would prefer to play DC than actually I'd prefer to play New York than DC than Toronto. Okay. In that order. What else you got on the sheet over there?
Should we do some Twitter questions?
Yeah, let's see what people have.
Let's see. James Lockerbie says, please tell me the goalkeeper auditions were just for fun post practice. And I hate to say it, but Elsinho is actually going to be their new goalie. Sorry.
Elsinho had a great save on Andre Blake.
Yeah. They're taking videos of that. Elsinho looked pretty good. Yeah. I think Mark Narducci asked Andre about that. And
some fans are saying like, oh, it's an injury waiting to happen. Well, I know you could get injured doing anything. I had somebody at a wedding attendee who injured themselves walking to the venue. So
can we also talk about our soccer game between practice and a press conference?
Yeah,
Mark Narducci was like,
we had a little kick
showing
around
off some skills. Yeah,
yeah. Mark Narducci, who was wearing penny loafers,
just juggling,
juggling.
It's like we're passing the ball around.
Left
he's
right
juggling.
Foot. He was showing a whole lot. Yeah, I don't know if the technique, was that great from anybody out there, but the balls were going where we wanted them to. And Matt DeGeorge even had a header that knocked his hat off and went into the little dugout thing.
Yeah, that was my long ball. I was pretty happy with
that. No, you were hitting them from a good 20 yards away, and you were just putting them, playing them
exactly.
right to feet, yeah.
So that leads us into our next question from Mike SOB 3704. What needs to be done for the obviously needed turnaround in form result to make this playoffs on not just one game? And I think the answer is me. I mean, mm-hmm. I was knocking balls off Matt DeGeorge's head. That's something that they need.
You're placing them right there. That service was what CJ Sapong has not been getting. They had a media game last week, by the way. You guys didn't make it down to.
I was fasting. I mean, I don't want to say anything.
Was
but
it Rosh? It was Yom Kippur.
It was Yom Kippur, pretty much the biggest holiday, and I was fasting. And they have a few Jewish reporters. So
are you allowed? So let me ask you this: are you allowed to like participate in activities, or you just didn't want to do it because you weren't?
I mean,
weren't
technically,
eating all day?
Yom Kippur is a day where you just like sit home all day,
just, like,
and
hang out,
fast,
okay,
and not do much. So I mean, I'm not like the best Jew. I probably could have gone, but that's like the one day where I kind of try to.
Would you say you're
observe.
like a cultural? Like, is that the term? Like, you observe the holidays?
I mean, I actually go to synagogue for Rosh Hashanah,
okay,
and Yom Kippur, so that's better than a lot of people. So.
Yeah, very good. Okay.
I'll take credit for that.
There you go. So they had a little, like, media game and like, walkthrough session where they took us into the training facility, and they did a little video presentation. There were a couple regulars there, but for the most part, it was, like, people from, like, CSN and NBC and CBS, and the people who aren't regulars down there, they wanted to kind of give them a tour of the new training complex and all that stuff, which it should have happened a long time ago, but they only just got the naming rights thing done, so I think that's what they're
we've been
for.
In there for like
a
6 months,
a bunch of times. I threw three slide tackles down during the media game,
greeting
which
those
could either be construed as being a total asshole or just, you know, playing hard. So anyway, what
but
what
that guy going back to that question, he's basically asking, like, you're the tactics guy, like, is there one or two things you'd really try to change, like, in the playoffs?
Well, I mean, the problem now is that it's too late. We were talking weeks ago about them trying to 4-4-2 or giving CJ a rest or trying to get Charlie Davies more involved and stuff like that. I think that they've just cornered themselves now, and that they just can't come out of the 4-2-3-1. And that's what the roster was built for anyway. I mean, because they signed all these midfielders, and that's where the strength was. So now you're going to take one of them out and try somebody else up top. But It should have happened weeks ago. It should have been CJ and Herbers up top, or try CJ and Charlie up top. And Bedoya is a guy who can play in a 4-4-2. So I just think that they, when Vince Noguera left the team, that was the kind of opportunity there to experiment a little bit and make sure you still had the shape right. And I just think they blew that opportunity.
Has Jim ever really changed his shape? I feel like it's pretty much been that 4-2-3-1 forever.
All year they played 4-2-3-1. They played kind of a false nine to that Houston game, remember, because all three of the strikers were injured and Allberg played up top. But in 2015, actually, the very first game of the year, they came out playing 4-4-2. They played Fernando Arrizabalaga and CJ up top, and then they didn't play 4-4-2 for the rest of the year. So they played it. One out of the last 68 games, I think, they started in that formation. Stan Pasikinis says potential striker acquisitions in the offseason. Is Aaron Johansson a possibility? I mean, I'd say yeah. JT Tannenwald was talking about this on Twitter the other day. He was injured for Bremen for most of last year. I think all last year, right? And now I'm not really sure if he's playing over there, if he's in favor for
that. That'd be a good move. I mean, two U.S. national team starters in the him and Bedoya.
And Ernie knows from AZ. So
that makes sense, Stan. I like it.
I think beyond that, I think you lean on Ernie to get a guy like Chicago picked up like a Michael DeLeu or whatever, from where did he come? Not Feyenoord. He came from Groningen, if I'm saying that right. And so, I mean, you could get a decent goal-scoring Dutch league striker to come over here for $1 million, right?
Yeah. Have the Union ever signed a big-time striker? I mean, when you think about it.
Connor Casey? No, they really haven't. I mean, they really got to, not to get off like super off topic here, but people were saying, if you sell Andre Blake in the winter, what for? This is what for. Say you sell Blake for $3 or $4 million. I don't think you get any more than that from him. Say you sell Blake for $4 million. MLS takes like $1 million of it, right? You take $2 million and you sign a designated player striker for 2 years, right? $1 million for the first year, $1 million for the second year. And you take that third $1 million and you invest it in the training complex or the academy or some other piece of infrastructure. And you're basically flipping a goalkeeper for long-term investment and a DP striker, because it's just, they need that more than anything. Yeah. I mean, you look at all these other teams in the East, David Villa, Sebastian Giovinco, Josie, some of them have multiple DP goal scorers on the team, and the Union doesn't. So anyway.
Well, speaking of Blake, there's a question from Gerard Snyder 31. If they sell Blake, what's the direction and goal? Who is not here next year? And does Eric Ayuk have a future with the Union? So if you want to start with direction and goal, if they do sell Blake, would you feel comfortable with either John McCarthy or Matt Jones, or do you think they need to get someone else?
Well, yeah, first of all, Matt Jones is on loan this year, so they'd have to sign him from Belenenses. Right. And I think we haven't seen a lot of Matt Jones this year. I know everybody's
one game
like,
kind of
whatever,
up and down,
but
yeah,
he's behind Andre Blake, right? And this is a guy who played like 80 plus games in the Portuguese top division. So he's played at Porto, at Braga, at Sporting. He's not some bum,
right?
So if they like what they saw from him in training, you could probably get him on a permanent deal, or maybe even extend the loan for another year. But John McCarthy, I don't think is the answer. No,
he's a great backup to have here.
What they should have had is they should have had Zach Steffen in the pipeline instead of allowing him to go to Germany and then come back to Columbus, whatever the hell that was all about. So
if their academy was what it is now, I think that wouldn't have happened,
right? It was
back
like
then.
They
probably lost guys. They probably lost him. They probably lost Christian Pulisic. Like, when you think about it, like, if there was the school back then, would he have gone from Hershey?
Right,
I mean,
there wasn't anything.
There's a few years there where they just weren't really getting the young talent in.
What was the second part?
Who's not here next year? We can talk about that more in our next podcast, probably. And is there a guy who have a future with the Union?
Yeah, I think he does. I'm surprised he actually didn't get first team minutes this year. I mean, he's not any worse than Leo Fernandez or Walter Restrepo from what I've seen. I think Eric Ayuk,
he was good last
was
year.
One of,
yeah,
a
few goals.
He scored a couple goals. I think Eric Ayuk was one of the best players for Steel this year. I think the best Steel player by far was Ryan Richter, who earned a transfer, and Daly too, who earned a transfer early. But beyond that, I mean, he kind of stood out on a team that was just sort of the first year feeder. So.
Yeah. From Richard Ells, what grade would you give Ernie Stewart in the area of player acquisition to this point?
I'd give him a B.
Yeah, I mean, Roland Alberg was, I guess, his big one from him, and he's a good player. He hasn't really shown to be a star as they would have
Well, and they
liked.
Just – the problem, too, is that they don't – he's a 4-4-2 kind of player. You know, again, you brought a guy in who doesn't fit the formation. So I can't imagine what those discussions are like. I mean, they obviously agreed at the beginning of the year that they're going to play 4-2-3-1, and they weren't going to go for a big striker this year. But, you know, Ernie brought in two more midfielders, Ilsenio and Alberg, and, you know, they already had Tranquillo Barneta at the 10. And then they went out and got Bedoya on top of that as a stopgap for the Noguera thing. So I think his signings have been good, and I think he's brought in quality players, but I don't – they needed other – spots, you know.
The best move was probably Chris Pontius. I'm not sure if that was Ernie.
And that wasn't an Ernie.
Might have been more of a Jim.
No, think about it. I mean, everybody's given Ernie a lot of credit, and he deserves it. But you know, Pontius was Jim and Chris. Keegan Rosenberry was Jim and Chris.
Well, the draft. I mean, I actually wrote a big piece on the rookies and the draft. I mean, Jim said that Ernie came in like they were targeting those three guys with Keegan, Josh, and Fabian. And Jim said that could be a draft that like defines this franchise for the next 10 years.
Yeah. So even, I mean, Ernie didn't know anything about Keegan Rosenberry, obviously, right, but the other two guys, Yarrow and Herbers, you could say, yeah, maybe he was more influential in that, but because he didn't have the history with Keegan, but, I don't know. I'd say B. I think this winter will be interesting. What else?
It was a good offseason. I don't see too much else. Did you see any?
No, is there any topics?
Will it do ever play in a Union uniform again?
Yeah, hopefully Sunday.
Could be Sunday.
What direction? Who should they sit players? Yeah, we went over that.
Yeah, we went over the sit players. I think that's it.
Maybe not. Has this season been a success?
No non-soccer questions. No Jim Mora questions, which I find odd.
Yeah, playoffs. We'll get another drop in there somewhere. But, all right, that's pretty much it. Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens this Sunday again. You know, just seating at stake. I'm interested to see who they put out there. But, you know, we're going to be driving up to either New York or DC. Here's the question. We'll end on this. Will you travel to Toronto if they play?
I don't think so.
I went up to Toronto the one time.
It's hard when you have a kid.
It is, yeah. The one time I went up to Toronto was in 2012 when Toronto was 0-9, and Aaron Winter was their head coach, and that was after the press conference where Danny Kuverman said they were the worst team in the world, and they beat the Philadelphia Union 1-0.
Was that the game that got Peter Novak fired?
Yes,
right?
It was. Yeah,
and then you and Kareef went up and had some poutine.
Right? That was the Montreal trip.
Oh,
that was
a different 2013. One.
Yeah, all of my Canada trips have been very, very bad for the Union. The Toronto, they lost to the worst team in the world, and then Montreal, it rained the whole weekend.
So fans don't want you to go to Canada.
Yeah. So basically, like, I should stay in Fishtown here. All right, that'll do it. Episode number was this 5 or 6?
I don't know.
Wow, we're getting 5. Up there in number.
Definitely 5.
We've done so many that I can't remember. Thanks.
We got one more playoffs before we sign off.
Playoff.
There we go.
Thanks again for everybody for listening on SoundCloud, iTunes, and Stitcher. Again, if you want us to get this up on any other format, just give us a shout. We'll do it. It's Always Soccer in Philadelphia. Kevin Kincaid, Dave Zeitlin. We'll see you next time. Peace.
Thanks.
Well, what happened was that second game, we got our ass kicked. Or the second half, we just got our ass totally kicked. We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We sucked. The second half, we sucked.